Good morning, CBIBC. Let me add my welcome to that of James. If I haven't met you yet, my name is Nate. It's my privilege to be the pastor here at CBIBC and to get to preach from God's Word most Sunday mornings. As you can see on the screen, we're working our way through the book of Hebrews. And we've come right to the end. Those of you who have been here throughout the summer have been listening to sermons starting in the spring and all through the summer. And now we're on to chapter 13, just the last two sermons in the book of Hebrews. And I told the group who was here last week that our practice at CBIBC when we do sermons is to try to preach verse by verse through the Word of God. And I wanted to let you know why we're not doing that exactly this week. Some of you noticed that we skipped a few verses there in Hebrews chapter 13. Never fear, we'll come back to those next week. You probably, if you were looking in your own Bible, noticed verses 7 through 9, and then later at the end of the chapter, there are verses that talk about the leadership of the church and specifically how the congregation is to respond to the leadership of the church. And so I thought it might be just a little bit awkward if I stood up here and gave you a heavy-handed sermon about how all of you guys are supposed to treat me. So what we've done is next week we're going to have a guest speaker, which some of you know him, Pastor James Carroll, who's been here before on a trip. Regina knows him quite well from her time in the States. A beautiful brother. The elders have been doing elder training. The elders in training have been doing elder training this year, reading several books that he helped to co-author, one that he authored himself that's really been encouraging us to grow in our faith. He not only pastors a church, but he also helps to lead an organization called Practical Shepherding. And so it's through that organization that we've grown as elder candidates in our desire to be practical shepherds of the body of Christ here at CBIBC. So I know you'll love to hear from him next week. He'll share from you all about how the pastor and elders of a congregation should interact with each other, and that'll be good. But for my part this week, what I hope to do is to cover all the rest of Hebrews chapter 13 that we didn't cover last week and that won't be covered next week in those leadership passages. And so actually this sermon is a continuation somewhat of last week's. If you're here last week, you know we talked about the end of chapter 12, verses 28 and 29. It tells us, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. So last week, we talked about several practical things that show forth our worship to God and reverence for all. Out of gratefulness for what Jesus has done for us, we want to worship him with reverence. Part of what we do in doing that is loving our brothers and sisters, which was in our passage for last week. Part of that looks like showing hospitality to strangers. We also talked about how we honor marriage and keep the marriage bed pure and undefiled, keeping ourselves pure sexually in honor of God and what Jesus has done for us. And then we talked about money, how we're not to love money, but rather we are to be content with what the Lord's given us. So those are some very practical things we looked at last week. And this week, I want to give you three more. But to show you kind of the setting of this passage, you see this one that talks about how we are to worship with reverence and awe, acceptable worship. There's a verse that sounds pretty similar to this in our passage for today in chapter 13. Through him, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. So you hear the similarities between those two passages, the end of Hebrews 12 and this verse near the end of chapter 13. And those passages serve in some sense as bookends, kind of showing us what it means to respond to all that Jesus has done for us that we've talked about in all of Hebrews up until now. And so we're going to just title the message for fun a little bit different, A Sacrifice of Praise. What does it look like to offer to God a sacrifice of praise? And we'll look at three things, then we'll look at the benediction to this book and the final closing comments, I'll give some summary to the book of Hebrews. So let's just start together. How do we offer God acceptable worship? How do we offer the sacrifice of praise? First of all, let us bear the reproach of Christ. Now, one of the verses we didn't read today that Pastor James will talk more about last week is verse 9. It tells us not to let our hearts be led away by strange and diverse teachings. So you can see how that relates to leadership. You're supposed to follow the teaching of your leaders who are solid in the faith and follow their way of life that's based on the scriptures. So we'll talk a little bit about that. But that strange and diverse teaching, he gives an example of those people who say that you need to eat certain foods and able to be holy or to be righteous. And he's pointing them back to the Old Testament laws that talked about how the Jews needed to avoid certain things like pork or like shrimp or those kinds of things. They had these dietary laws that set them apart as the people of God. But he's saying to the Christians now who are finding their righteousness and their holiness by believing in the once and for all sacrifice of Christ, that your hearts are not strengthened by what you eat, the foods that you eat. That doesn't strengthen you, but rather to find the strengthening of your faith in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if we want to be godly, we don't get godly by abstaining from certain foods. Rather, we get godly by turning our attention to Jesus. He saves us and continues to shape us into the image of Christ. It's good for the heart, the scripture says, to be strengthened by grace, not by foods. As we move forward, the author of Hebrews makes a theological point here, so hang with me. He says in verse 10, we have an altar that the Jewish priests in the temple have no right to eat from. So as you were here, maybe you were back in the spring when we were here in Exodus and we talked about the tabernacle. The tabernacle was the precursor to the temple. This is that holy place that the Jewish people had in the Old Testament times, where they would go to offer animal sacrifices as given to them in the law by Moses. And those sacrifices were to help them to reconnect with God. But they had to keep offering these sacrifices again and again and again so that their sins could be taken care of. But throughout Hebrews, we've talked about how Jesus is a better sacrifice. He's the once and for all sacrifice. Jesus came as the Son of God, the God-man, gave His life. He was the great high priest and the sacrifice, offering Himself as the sacrifice for our sins. And it's the once and for all sacrifice because no other sacrifice is needed. When we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and what He's done for us on the cross and in His resurrection from the dead, our sins are forgiven once and for all. They're separated from us as far as the east is from the west. We are cleansed in God's sight. So, but these priests, oftentimes when the sacrifices in the Old Testament were brought into the tabernacle and then the temple, the priest would get to eat some of the meat of the sacrifices. So that was kind of how the priests had their food, their subsistence, because they didn't work outside the temple. They would eat of those meats. But there was one day of year in particular where the priest did not eat the sacrifices, and that was on this day called the Day of Atonement that we talked about through Hebrews, where the priest, the high priest, once a year would take several sacrifices, the blood from those sacrifices, and go into the most holy place at the center of the tabernacle, and he would bring it. The Ark of the Covenant was there, the altar that was on top of it, and he would splash that blood upon the altar to atone for the sins of the people. So that was a special day. And the sacrificial animals from whence that blood came were taken outside the camp, and they were burned outside the camp. So the priest didn't get to eat of those because it was such a special sacrifice to the Lord. It needed to be burned up outside the camp. And now our passage is telling us that Jesus was crucified outside the walls of the city or outside the camp. So in the camp, that would have been in the tabernacle times. Then outside the walls of the city, that would have been in the temple times. Jesus was crucified outside the walls of the city. And so it's symbolic of Jesus being that once and for all sacrifice on the Day of Atonement to once and for all atone for all the sins of the people. And Jesus didn't go into the most holy place in the temple. Instead, Jesus rose from the dead and went to the most holy place in the presence of God the Father in heaven and offered his sacrificial body as the sacrifice there to forgive us of all of our sins. And that's why it's once and for all. It's the real deal. The things on earth were just copies, just shadows of the things that are to come. Jesus was the ultimate one going right into the presence of God. So now here's where we get a response. Thanks for hanging with me through that explanation. Now is where we get our response. Verse 13 says, therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. So in other words, Jesus bore reproach, a heavy reproach for us when he was suffered and when he was crucified for us outside the camp. Jesus was mocked. Jesus was talked down to by the spiritual leaders. He, the creator of the universe, was talked down to. He was slapped. He was mocked. A crown of thorns was placed on his head. He was beaten with a whip. He was spit upon. I mean, he was stripped naked, hung on a cross before all the people, and even the wrath of God was poured out upon him because of your sin and mine that was upon Christ on the cross. He bore the reproach. The creator of the universe stepped into our world to bear the reproach that should have been ours. He took it on the cross so that we could be forgiven. And now the scripture says we're being called to go outside the camp to Jesus to bear that reproach along with him. It's obvious the application for the Jews, right? These are the people, they'd grown up in Judaism, going to the temple, doing all these sacrifices, and now they're being told, okay, you're leaving the tabernacle. You're going outside the camp. You're leaving the temple. You're going outside the walls of the city, and you're uniting yourself with this one who was crucified, the sacrifice who was taken outside the camp. You're uniting yourself with him. And so for them, it was a big deal. I mean, they were leaving the culture, all the culture they ever knew. All of their family members were Jews. All of their friends were Jews. All of their work associates were Jews. And so the sacrifice was great financially, relationally, emotionally, all of it. To go outside the camp to follow after Jesus was a big deal for them. And yet the word still speaks to us today. For us, we go outside the camp as well. We go outside the camp to unite with Jesus. And many of your family members are not believers in Jesus. Now, you still love them. You still want to honor them, as the Bible calls us to do. But you find yourself being different in a lot of ways. Slowly but surely, as you unite yourself with Christ, as you put your faith in him, as you seek to follow him, you stop to do some of you religious things that you once did with your family in your old life before you put your trust in Jesus, because that's not your identity anymore. Your identity is wrapped up with Jesus, and so your life is wrapped up with him and the body of Christ. And certainly it's a great benefit that you get a new family, all the brothers and sisters in Christ, that you have fellowship, that you have a life group. But it hurts in some ways to receive the reproach of your family members to say, why don't you come do this with us anymore? Why do you talk like this? Why are you following this guy? Are you in some sort of cult group now? Why do you go to church every Sunday? Shouldn't you be studying on Sunday mornings for your test on Monday? Why do you do this? You stand up for Christ in your workplace and talk about how you're a Christian, and you receive the sideways glances of your fellow employees. You don't have the same guanxi that the other people have who go out and get drunk several nights a week to build that kind of guanxi among the team, so you don't get the promotion. There's a reproach that we bear for Christ when we stand for him that doesn't intentionally make ourselves antithetical to the people around us, but we're just different. We're believing in Jesus, so our character is different. The way we talk is different. The way we spend our time is different. And so the reproach comes upon us. Are you willing, brothers and sisters, to bear the reproach of Christ, to put your faith in him and follow after him and stand firm in your faith? Now, we respond in worship by bearing the reproach of Christ, but secondly, we respond in worship by following this city. We have a lasting city where the city we seek is the one that's to come. You see, the ones that we are pursuing is not the city or the culture of this world to gain much from this culture. Instead, we're looking for a lasting city, the heavenly city, where we'll be with God forever. So though the reproach may be difficult to bear in this life, in these days, you need to know that eternity, which lasts far longer, this life is but a drop in the bucket of all of what eternity is. In that life, you'll receive your reward and you'll be in the presence of your God forever. Well, the next major area in which we offer sacrifice is we offer a sacrifice of praise. The scripture says about Jesus, through him then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. The action that we are being called to here is to verbally offer to God words of praise, glorifying his name, exalting his character, praising him for his righteous actions. This is what we do in church when we sing together on a Sunday morning, right? We offer up this praise to God. This is what you do when you create a Spotify playlist or grab somebody else's playlist of worship songs and you put those earbuds in your ear and you go out for a workout or some exercise and you sing along in your heart or maybe out loud along with those words and you're worshiping God. That's a sacrifice of praise to him. This is what you do when you're walking through the MTR station and one of the songs that we sing here on Sunday mornings pops in your head and you just kind of under your breath are singing that song of praise to the Lord. That's words of praise to your great God. He wants those words to be on your lips. But it's interesting, the response we're being called to is called a sacrifice of praise. Why is it a sacrifice of praise to God? Well, our praise isn't earning us some sort of merit. It isn't paying for our sins, like sing three songs and get one sin free or something like that. No, our praise is not gaining us merit. Only Jesus, his bloody sacrifice for us, gains us entrance into the presence of God. That's the only way that we are forgiven. No, the sacrifice is in the sense of it costs you something to sing praise to God. It costs you something. When you wake up on a Sunday morning, when it's your one day to sleep, your one day off, you'd like to maybe just lay around and sleep in and eat something and watch a movie, or maybe it's exciting to be in Hong Kong and you'd like to go out and explore Hong Kong on your one day. It's a sacrifice of praise to come into this place and sing with your brothers and sisters in Christ. For some of you, the act of singing itself is a little bit hard for you. I mean, like some people are very, like, they have outgoing personalities. And they love music and they love to sing. It's some of the people who lead us up here and we gain from their energy. They help us. But some of you, your personality is like, man, I don't sing in any place in my life. like even if my very best friends were going to do karaoke and it was my bestest friend's birthday, I would not stand up and sing with the microphone in my hand. No way, never. And so for you to come into church and to sing a song out loud is a sacrifice. It's costing you something. You're going over the top of your natural personality to say, I'm going to sing. Why? Because Jesus is worth it. He has sacrificed everything for me. The God-man stepped out of heaven and bore the reproach. How could I not sing a song of praise to him? You know, last week we talked about how the natural DNA of a believer is that we would love our brothers and sisters in Christ. Well, the natural response of a Christian, the natural outflow of our lips is words of praise. The fruit of lips who acknowledge his name, the scripture says, is praise. That imagery of the fruit of lips is also mentioned in the book of James. Some of you are familiar. You know, he says, out of the same mouth should not come both blessings and cursings. He says, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine produce figs? No, indeed, they can't. So brothers and sisters, we who are rooted in Christ Jesus, we are connected to Jesus the vine. And so out of us comes the grapes of praise. The life-giving Spirit of Jesus that saved us flows within us now. He's in us. And that life-giving Spirit empowers us to give heartfelt praise, to pour forth from our mouths. When we arrive here on Sundays, the praise that we sing, brothers and sisters, it ought to be joyful. I mean, there are some songs that we sing that are contemplative, and we should do those things, but it ought to be exuberant. It ought to be powerful. I mean, when the people are walking by outside, I mean, and that door is still open on our first few songs, I mean, people ought to be looking up at what is happening in that school as we raise the roof in this place to praise of our great God. Those who come into this place who aren't Christians yet, they're just exploring the faith. When they sit down and they hear the praises of the saints, though they'd never wanted to sing before, something in them wants to join in. Something in them wants to taste of something that, what are these people experiencing? They feel something. The little hairs start to stand up on their arms. They start to say, there is something otherworldly that's happening here. And it is otherworldly because the Spirit of the living God, who's from outside of this world, has entered in and taken up residence within us to help us and enable us to offer this fruit of lips who praise His name. Oh, church, let us not be ashamed to come into this place and sing. Don't be ashamed to sing to Him throughout the week. In the shower, maybe your roommate might hear or somebody else. No, let the fruit of lips come out of you and let God be glorified for all the great things that He's done for us in Christ. The third thing, let us not neglect to do good and share what we have. We talked about this last week, that worship is not just the words we sing praise. That's definitely worship when we sing praise to the Lord, but also our actions. We sing praise to God and then we act out praise to God. Don't neglect to do good and share what we have. Recently, I was in a group and the question was asked within the group, if you could ask God any question, what would you ask Him and why? And one young man said, I would ask, why is life so extremely tragic for some people, so difficult for some people, while others seem to be born with a golden spoon in their mouth and to have it so easy? Why is that? And the truth is, we don't have a great answer for that question, right? The why question of why God chooses to make some people born one way and some another, that's in the sovereign hands of our Almighty God. You know, that's some of the questions Job asked, the why questions. He's like, Job, did you set the foundations of the earth? Do you know all things? No. Okay, listen, there are some things we have to trust God's sovereignty with and say, God, I don't know why. But actually, part of the answer is here in this passage. You see, because what is it do we really need to survive in this life? We talked about this last week. The physical needs we have. We need food to eat so we can survive. We need clothing so we're not exposed to the elements and freeze to death or burn up from the sun. Those are the things we need to survive. What else? Not a whole lot else actually physically that we need. Okay? So everything else that we have would fall into the category of things that we can do good with and share with others. Everything else that we have falls into this category. So, I have another boasting about our church, about our congregation to share with you. Last week I talked about our student leaders and their hospitality. This summer, we had a home mission offering that we took up here at CBIBC, and you know, we brought in the leaders of these organizations that we're partnering with, one that's reaching out to refugees in the heart of the city of Hong Kong, people who are here from other places in the world and have some difficulties. They provide food, they provide the gospel, they provide children's activities, sewing classes for women, men's groups to empower them, these kinds of job training things, drug and alcohol deliverance, all those things. We're giving some money to help them. And then a couple of these groups that reach out to people with disabilities, one in mainland China who helps children and their families who are struggling with disability, and a home, the Home of Loving Faithfulness here in Hong Kong, that has disabled people living there, 13 I think they said right now, maybe 17 residents right now in their home, completely free of charge. Those residents are living there, funded by the Church of Hong Kong, who's giving to this ministry to pay for these well-trained workers who have the love of Jesus as well, to care for every need and to help share the love of Christ with these residents. And you gave, and you gave and gave and gave. Our goal was 40,000 Hong Kong dollars, and in the end, we raised 78,000 Hong Kong dollars. And can I say I'm just proud of you as a church. Like, you gave out of that extra stuff that you have, that God gave to you. Hey man, you might be putting that away to buy a house someday, or to buy a car, to get married, or to help your something else. You know, make you feel a little better because the bank account is a little higher. But no, you gave out of that to bless, to help, and to share. Well done, church. The second part of this command is to share what we have. You know, one of the big concerns most parents have is teaching their children to share, right? Share your toys. Give your friend a turn to play that game. Let them choose what game we're going to play next. We're constantly sharing these things with our kids because we want them to be people who share. And somehow we have this concept for children about the need to learn to share, but when it comes to us as adults, sometimes we switch from prioritizing sharing to prioritizing private ownership. We prioritize responsibility for taking care of the goods and things we have, the money we have. Stewardship, being good stewardship of my salary, my car, my house, my clothes, my things. I can't just loan out stuff to anyone. They might not take care of it. I mean, this might be true of our flats when we're out of town, or if we have extra space that we could loan out to people. Sometimes we're hesitant to do that because what's going to happen to those things? What are they going to do? Is it going to, something going to get broken? How about our foods? You know, we have enough to eat and usually have money for even more, but like when we have roommates, when we grow into adulthood, I mean, we're diligent about putting little stickers that says, this is my shelf, this is your shelf, this is my name, it's written on me, and what? You ate my tuna fish? How could you eat my tuna fish? And we get all riled up inside about somebody taking something that was mine when we have more than we need. This one's going to be a little sticky, but I'm just going to do it, okay? How about our intellectual property? See, I know you guys are going to say, I mean, it's just how the way it works, Pastor Nate. I mean, like, I research, I put in the work, I put all this together, and now you want me to just share it with other people? Is it going to make the world a better place? Could someone take that and go to the next level to help someone else in some way? You might not benefit completely financially for that, but has God always taken care of you? Has He given you everything you need for your family? Are you all right? How much did Jesus share with you that was His? All of it. All of it. Why do we do that? Such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Don't neglect to do good and share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. It's a sacrifice. I know. It costs you something. But it's honoring to God. It's pleasing to Him when you do it. Okay, let's move forward. Today, we're going to have a unique opportunity to get a little teaching on the benediction before we have the benediction. Okay, this is the benediction that we're going to share at the end of the service today. It comes from Hebrews chapter 13, 20 and 21. But I want to teach you about the content of the benediction. Who are we talking to? The benediction says we're talking to the God of peace. Who is the God of peace? Well, Isaiah chapter 9, 6, remember, says He's the wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He's the one who comes to bring peace to this broken world. Romans 5, 1 says that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We who were once alienated from God because of our sin have been brought near. We have peace with God through Jesus. Many of you, some of your favorite verses may be Philippians 4, 6, and 7 that talks about how we as Christians can gain peace when we have anxiety. He says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. When you come to talk to God, you're talking to the God of peace. You're talking to the God who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ. You're talking to the resurrection God, the God who can raise someone from the dead. Who can do that? Only our God. He's got that kind of power. You're talking to the great shepherd of the sheep. Psalm 23, again, a very famous passage. He's our shepherd who leads us through the dark valleys of this life, but also causes us to drink from waters, to lie down in green pastures. He guides us for His name's sake. He'll always provide for us. He's with us always to the end of the age. This is our shepherd. So you're talking to your shepherd, the one who laid down His life for you. The good shepherd lays down His life for the sheep. So what are we praying for? We know who we're talking to, but what are we praying for? That God would equip us with everything good. Basically, we're praying for grace. We're praying for what we don't have on our own, that God gives us freely, that He would equip us with everything good that we need to serve Him. To do some of these hard sacrifices that we've talked about, He equips us. He empowers us to make those sacrifices. We don't do it by our own strength. God equips us. And so we pray for that equipping, that we may do His will. You know, Jesus, as we read in Hebrews, came into the world and He accomplished the will of the Father. And He went all the way and He finished the work of dying for us and rising from the dead. And we too are called to do God's will. And we do that through the strength that He provides through Jesus. In fact, the scripture says that we pray that He would work in us what is pleasing in His sight. Those sacrifices that we do that are pleasing to God, God empowers us. And when we pray about it, we pray for each other, even more power comes to each one of us to be able to accomplish the things He's called us to do His will, to be pleasing in His sight. And so what confidence then do we have that He will answer these things? Well, it's through the blood of the eternal covenants that He strengthens us to do these things. Through the blood of Jesus. You see, the blood of Jesus is for our salvation, yes, but it's also for our strengthening in our daily walk with Jesus. By His grace, we continue to do good works. We continue to be transformed into the image of Jesus as daily we confess our sins to God and He forgives us and shapes us and empowers us to do His work. And it's through Jesus Christ. All of it's through Jesus. You know, throughout Hebrews, we've been talking about how Jesus is better maybe 100 times. We talked about how Jesus is better sacrifice, a better covenant, all of these things, a better way of life, a better sacrifice. All these things is about Jesus and the work He does to empower us. And so we want to give Him glory in our prayers. We give glory to You, Jesus, for working in us, for saving us and transforming us and using us in this world. And so we come to the conclusion of Hebrews. Thanks for sticking with us. Some of you have been here almost every week through the whole book of Hebrews. Way to go. You've endured. There's been a lot of deep theology, but there's been some good practical stuff here. And I think the author of Hebrews knows, as he's coming to the end of his letter, this kind of sermon he's preached to the people, that, whoa, this has been a lot to bear. Like, I've been really pressing in on these people with some deep theology and some hard words. And he says, I appeal to you, brothers, to bear with my word of exhortation. Bear with it. Because he's been calling them out so much, maybe he's concerned that they won't stay with him, that they don't want to read his letters anymore. Like, they're too tough. And actually, sometimes I shake my head, you know, that you all come back week after week to bear the word. And I hope that as we, the preachers of CBIBC, that you don't come in and feel like you're getting beat up every week by our preaching. I hope you don't leave here a little shell-shocked. Like, man, I feel so guilty. That's not the point. Yes, sometimes we bring the word so that there might be some conviction, right? Straight out of the Word of God, letting the Word of God convict. But also, we hope that the gospel is so encouraging to you, to empower you to do those things, to be forgiven of your sins that are revealed when the Word of God is spoken, to be strengthened, to know the way, to draw near to Him. And so I hope that you'll bear with the Word as we bring it here at CBIBC. Then we get some personal details. Timothy's been released from prison. I desire to come. Hopefully we'll come along together. You know, this is some of the whole deal of, like, the global body of Christ and how we support each other. It's not just about our one little church here at CBIBC. Some of you know believers from other churches that you can encourage in your workplace or at school. Like, we don't want to say, oh, you go to that church, I don't want to talk to you. No, we're fellowshipping with other believers and also with other believers around the world. Like, next week, we're going to have four guys come from a church in the United States who are going to come and share with us at the Clearwater Bay School of Ministry. Another brother who speaks Mandarin is going to come from another place to encourage our Mandarin speakers next week. We want to embrace these brothers and delight to hear the news for them and pray for them as well. He tells us to greet all your leaders and the saints. It's interesting to me that he gives two different categories of people in the church. Greet the leaders and all the saints. So there's clearly supposed to be, according to the Bible, leaders in the church and all the saints. The leaders are part of all the saints, but the leaders are also set apart to do specific leadership for God's people. Yes, we're all equal in Christ, but some are called to specific tasks of leadership, and you'll get more of that in the sermon for next week. Finally, grace be with you all. This could be, you know, just the author of Hebrews given the classic greeting at the end of a Bible book to say grace, but with all that we've heard in Hebrews about the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, I think he's giving this to say one last time, find your strength in the grace of Jesus. Most notably, we receive grace from God and salvation. We didn't do anything to earn it. God simply freely gave it to us out of love. He saved us by His grace, and we continue in grace every day. One of the key verses of Hebrews is that we can draw near to the throne of grace to find mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. Because of how great Jesus is, one of the key applications we've had throughout Hebrews is we can draw near. We can draw near. Isn't it amazing? The God of the universe who created the world, we as mere human beings, sinful ones at that, can actually draw near to the presence of the one true God through the grace of Jesus Christ. So, brothers and sisters, can we do that now as we close this time in the Word and as we sing together to close our service? Father in heaven, we draw near to the throne of grace through Jesus. Lord, we don't bring anything of ourselves. These sacrifices we're being called to make, we don't make because we're better people somehow. No, it's because You are working in us to will and to act according to Your good pleasure. You do that in us. You empower us. And yes, we cooperate with You, Lord, but You're at work in us, and we're so thankful. We're thankful for the grace of Jesus that we can draw right near to You, our Father, with anything, any emotional burden we have, any physical need we have, any spiritual struggle that we're having. You invite us right into Your presence to receive mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. And so we draw near. I draw near along with my brothers and sisters right now. And we ask You for help. Lord, I pray for someone in this room who has really been grieving and mourning this week. Someone in this room who's really been struggling with doing what's right, even when it's hard. Someone in this room who've been struggling with sharing and giving things away. Someone in this room who's been struggling with some big sin area that they can't seem to get free of. Lord, all of those things, and church, just bring to the Lord your biggest burden right now. The thing you're most concerned about. Maybe it's someone else you're praying for, whoever it is, whatever it is. Would you lay it at His feet right now? Receive the mercy and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. He hears you. And He's able. He's the resurrection God. He's your shepherd. He cares about you. He's the God of peace. He wants to bring His peace to you now. The peace of Christ that passes all understanding to guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, what a Savior You are. How good it's been to be in this book of Hebrews, to see the progression of Your working in the world from way back thousands of years ago, and how You're pointing forward to Jesus, and how we are right in the midst of it today, included in Your kingdom as Your sons and daughters here to receive the grace and mercy of Jesus. And spread that to others until we see You face to face. Thank You, Lord. We worship You. We praise You as a church. Help us to keep walking forward in You, offering these sacrifices by Your strength that You give us for Your glory, Jesus. We want You to be glorified above all things. Let Your name be glorified at HKUST. Let Your name be glorified in Chung Kwan Oh. Let Your name be glorified in Clearwater Bay and Sai Kung, Lord. Around the world and the places where we have partners, let Your name be glorified today. Lifted up by Your global church. Hallowed be Your name. We worship You. In Jesus' name, we pray it all. Amen.